We're very happy to be together this morning, and we are mindful that two families are going to be moving here very soon from our number, and David and Betsy and John and Claudia. We're sad as we think of their leaving us, but our hearts are with them, and our prayers are with you, and our prayer that God's blessings will be with you in your move and in your new home. And we pray that you will find a family of local congregation of God's people there as here, that you will be part of the family of God, the body of Christ, as Bruce mentioned in the comments he made at the Lord's table, that God brings us together. And it is a large family that God has. And we're able to find fellow Christians almost anywhere that we go these days. And it's great to be part of the family of God. So our prayers are for you in the move, and please know that we love you and we are going to miss you. And we hope that we will be able to continue to stay close with you and see you again from time to time. If you will turn with me to John, the 14th chapter now, we are going to look at a passage of Scripture here, really one verse today that Jesus spoke with His disciples to encourage them and to comfort them. And by doing that, great comfort and encouragement is given to us as well as His followers today. He said in John 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Most people in our world today, when we think about peace, we think of it in terms of the absence of trouble, the freedom from war, or disturbance, or violence, or just from the hectic pace of life that we normally live in our modern world, with all the pressure of daily work and schedules and routine that we live with from day to day, that brings a lot of stress and a lot of pressure and anxiety to our hearts and to our lives. We think of peace as being able to be away from that and to be in a quiet, to have some quiet and peace in our lives where we are able to escape from the normal rush of life and all of the troubles and cares that go with that. In the Bible, I believe that the concept of peace, though, that is given is a more positive presence of something in our life that we are able to carry with us wherever we go. And whether we are in a time of stress and trouble, or if we are away in some other place, this is able to be within us, this peace that Jesus is speaking of. And it is a peace that is not based on outward circumstances. We can actually be living in a time where there is maybe turmoil going on around us, or great stress or pressure, problems that we may go through, and still have this peace of God, this peace of Christ, which Jesus assures us of here in these words that He speaks with His disciples. Where does a person find that kind of peace? Peace that is not just the absence of trouble, but a peace that is something that we can have in the midst of trouble, to be able to help us remain calm and steadfast and collected and strong in our hearts with God. And I believe that one of the most defining teachings that Jesus gave on this subject is right here in this passage in John chapter 14, where the night before his death, Jesus is speaking with his disciples and thinking of them, thinking of their troubles and their fears and their anxieties and wanting to calm them. He knew what he was facing and what he was going to be facing the very next day. And yet he spoke these words that give our lives great encouragement and comfort today. A message of peace. And this is a message, this is a peace that Jesus is speaking of that enables us to remain calm in fearful, trying circumstances of our lives. It makes it possible for us to rejoice and sing in the middle of suffering that we might be facing. You remember that the Apostle Paul and Silas in the 16th chapter of Acts, they were in prison in the city of Philippi, and their feet were bound in the stocks, and they had been beaten. And they were there in this frightening circumstance. And yet at midnight, we see it says that they were praying and singing hymns to God. And they were able to lead the Philippian jailer to faith in Christ on that evening. So they were able to have this peace that Jesus speaks about even there with them in the prison. I want us to think about this peace today, this peace of God, this peace of Christ that He promises us as His followers. And I want to begin by thinking of it as the nature of this peace. The nature of this peace. And as we think about that, the Bible speaks of two kinds of peace which God speaks to us of. And first of all, he speaks of peace with God. Peace with God. And this is a peace that we have with God when we have been the enemies of God. It is a renewal of the peaceful relationship with God that we want to have. The second kind is the peace that we then can have within ourselves, the peace of God, which the Bible says passes understanding. But the person who is outside of Christ cannot experience this peace. And I want to make that clear this morning, that this is a blessing that Christians are able to have and experience in our lives, which those who are outside of Christ cannot know and cannot understand. A person who is outside of Christ, who has not been cleansed of their sins and been able to be restored into a new life with God and with Christ, does not have peace with God. Because all of us were in that condition at one time, and we were the enemies of God. We were fighting against God. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, we were the enemies of God. Meaning we were fighting against God at that time in our life, and we can all understand and recall even in our own lives times that this was true, that we were fighting against God. We were living in opposition to His will and the principles of His life for us. But when we came to see Christ as Lord, we stopped being the enemies of God. And we surrender our lives to Him. We come over to His side. We do not want to be the enemies of God anymore. We want to be His children and His people. And we know that Jesus wrote the peace treaty with His own blood to make it possible for us to enter into a covenant relationship with God, where God declares that we are now at peace with Him. We are now at peace with God. Notice with me in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks about the fact here that we are redeemed. We are justified. We are declared righteous with God. Our sins are forgiven. The war is over. And therefore, we have peace with God. And we are, that is the whole purpose of God's salvation in our lives, is that we can restore peace between man and God. Man was on the one side and God was on the other side, and Christ stepped in the middle and took our hands and put us together again and renewed and reconciled us back to God. We think of the hostility between the United States and Japan in World War II, and how that came to an end on the battleship Missouri in Tokyo Bay when the peace treaty was signed between the Imperial Japan and the United States, and the Japanese surrendered, complete surrender. And then since that time, our nations have been at peace. Well, man was at war with God. We were enemies with God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 through 22, Paul, in writing to the Colossians there, he said that Jesus, in order to reconcile all things to God by himself, by him, whether things on earth or in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And he goes on to speak about the fact there. He says that, yet now he has reconciled you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh to present you holy and blameless and above reproach. Well, a sinful person cannot be in the presence of God. We understand that. Cannot come into the presence of God. Something has to make us righteous before we can come into the presence of God, and before we can be at peace with God. So that is why Christ came down from heaven, died for our sins, because he understood, God knew that we were enemies, and now we are at peace with God because we were reconciled through the blood of his cross. We were made one again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, we are told by the Apostle Paul, now all things are of God, he said, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he says, and then now he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So this is the work of Christ, the work of the gospel, to reconcile men to God and to for us to be at peace with God. Now, this is not the peace that Jesus was primarily referring to here, though, in John chapter 14, I don't believe, when he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. He's not talking about peace with God, per se, but the inner peace that we have as a result of that with God. And it is a positive inner peace that we experience in our soul with God. Knowing that we are at peace with God, we're able to have a peace inside of us at all times, able to overcome the circumstances of life. This is a divine peace that comes from knowing that we have a life within us, a relationship restored with God, so that we are at peace with God. And the result of that is that we are able to enjoy the peace of God within our hearts. He says, Paul writing to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, he said, be anxious for nothing, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this word that is used here for guard, that Paul uses here in this passage, is a word that is not referring to a prison guard who is there to keep you in prison. Rather, it's a military term that is used of a guard who is stationed at the wall to guard against the approach of enemies. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It protects us against worry. It protects us against anxiety. That we are in the fortress of Christ. We are surrounded by God's love and by His protection. And peace is standing guard and keeps worry from attacking our thoughts and troubling our hearts and minds. This is the kind of peace that we all need in our life. This is a peace that protects us, first of all, from the past, of the guilt of our sins. It also protects us against the presence of temptation in our life that would draw us away from Christ. And it is the peace that assures us of the future hope that we have to be with God in heaven. That is the kind of peace we all need in our hearts, so that there is nothing that will come and attack us and tear us away from the relationship that we have with God. That is exactly the kind of peace that Christ promises us and gives us here in this passage. The guilt of the past is forgiven, and the temptations and trials of the present are overcome, and the future is secured for us, and peace is guarding and protecting us so that we are able to enjoy the peace of God within our hearts. That is a peace that doesn't depend upon the outward circumstances of life. And sometimes people get into a place in their life for a short time where it feels that we are at peace. And yet it's very short-lived. It doesn't last for any length of time in your life. But this peace that Jesus assures us of is a peace that will last. It is a peace that will live us through this life and prepare us to go into eternity with God. It is a wonderful thing that God promises us here through His Word, where we are able to enjoy this. Now, the source of this peace, we want to notice that the source of this peace is, first of all, the peace of God. And secondly, it is the peace that is given to us by Jesus. The peace of God. He says here in this passage, Philippians 4 and verse 7, that we noticed a moment ago, that the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. And he goes on in the following verse, in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 4, he said, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you." The God of peace will be with you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God is a God of peace, and we are able to have the peace of God within us, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But Jesus, here in this passage that we have quoted several times already in John chapter 14 and verse 27, he said, "My peace I give to you." Jesus is the giver of this peace in our life, and he says, "My peace I give to you." It is Jesus' own personal peace that he experienced in his life that he gives to us. And so it is a peace that passes understanding. The world does not understand this peace. Cannot understand this peace. But it is the same peace that Jesus had when he endured all the trials and suffering that he was going through on our behalf, as he went through the trial, he went through the sufferings and the being crucified to the cross, nailed to the cross, Jesus remained calm. He remained peaceful during that time. He faced those who hated him, traitors, betrayers, those who were mocking and spitting upon him, standing before Pontius Pilate, and he had perfect calm within him. He was like a rock in his peace that he had in his life with God. And I've always imagined, how did that affect his enemies? It confounded them, I believe. It had to confound those enemies of Christ. When he stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate was asking him the question, Jesus remained quiet. And Pilate said to him in John chapter 19, he said, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? Why don't you say something? Why don't you speak up?" And Jesus answered him and he said, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above." That's the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 14 that he gives us. That is a peace that so we can stay calm and fearless and remain and maintain our trust in God in the most trying of circumstances in our life. So the source of this peace is Christ himself. It is the peace of God. It is given to us and promised to us by Christ. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, Peter was preaching to the house of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, he said, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." Then Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way." You see, Jesus Christ gives us his peace, his own personal peace. And that is a peace that has been tested to the ultimate test. When he was going to the cross, it was his own shield, as Paul speaks about in the book of Ephesians, that we take up the shield of faith, we take up the helmet of salvation. Jesus Christ tested this peace when he was going through his own sufferings, and he gives us that peace. Now we also find, though, that the Holy Spirit is the dispenser of this peace. Because when we turn to the book of Galatians, in chapter 5 of Galatians, in verse 22, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." And so peace is one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that we are given. And it seems that we wonder, if this is Christ's peace, then why is the Holy Spirit the one who gives this peace to us as a gift? And I think the answer to that can be seen here in this passage where Jesus talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 said that he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit works on our behalf, taking the things of Christ, giving them to us. And that is one of the reasons why on the night that he was betrayed, I believe he assured the disciples of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I will send you another helper, that he will be with you forever. If I go away, I will send the helper to you. I will not leave you as orphans." So he promised them that he would send to them the Comforter to be with them, that would give them assurance of their united relationship with God and this peace that is given to those who are his disciples. So we see that the source of this peace is the peace of God. It is given by Jesus Christ. It is his peace. And yet it's also given by the Holy Spirit as the fruit of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. So God wants us to have this peace. God wants us to not only have a peace with God, that we declare that we are no longer enemies with God. We have been reconciled with God. And we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. But also, he wants us to understand that we are able to experience this peace within our hearts, that no matter where we go and no matter what troubles and trials we run into in our life, we still can have a calm and a peace within us. That the world cannot enjoy this peace that is given to God's people. And that is the third thing that I want us to see this morning in this passage, is the contrast with this peace that Jesus promises us with the world's peace. The world's peace is a sham. I'm convinced that when he says, John 14 and verse 26, "Peace I give to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." In other words, this peace that Jesus gives is not like the peace of the world. And the world's peace is worthless. If we go back to the days of shortly before the birth of Christ, the Roman Empire, the war that was being fought among the great Roman Civil War, the Octavian defeated Mark Antony at the Battle of Actium in 31 BC, and he became the first Roman emperor. And it became known as the Pax Romana, meaning the Great Roman Peace. And they appealed to the people throughout the Roman Empire that for the welfare of the people, there would be no war. There would be a peace that would prevail throughout the empire. And yet, since then, there have been nearly 15,000 wars in the world's history. Just since World War II, in spite of all the advancement, in spite of all the United Nations, the League of Nations, all these different things to secure peace throughout the world, there has been, on average, 3 new wars every year. So the peace the world offers is shallow. It is unlasting. And most people's pursuit of peace in their life is only an attempt to escape from the turmoil and the void that they have in their life to begin with, that is created by the fact that they do not have God in their life. People turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, they turn to many other forms of escapism, trying to find peace in their life because in their life there is a void. God is missing in their life. They have no peace. And the fact is that without God, we cannot have peace in our life. Many people today live in that type of existential void. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they came from. They don't know what the purpose of their life is. They don't know where we're going to go after this life is over. They have no hope of eternity. That is the plight, the sad plight of modern man today. And the real reason that a person cannot find peace, it has nothing to do with your background, your childhood, your parents, some harsh, sad experience, bad experience in your childhood. It has nothing to do with those things. The Bible tells us why people don't have peace. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. So the world's version of peace is false. It's a lie. It cannot satisfy. And there is no woman or man without Christ who can ever have real peace in our lives. There is no world without God that can ever know such peace. But the peace that Jesus gives us is real, it is lasting. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is the result of the peace that Christ gives us. Christ promises this peace, but first we have to lay hold of it. He says here, I give you my peace. And then the very next thing he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we have to take hold of this peace in our life. If we will take hold of the peace that Christ gives us, we will have calm, untroubled hearts in spite of whatever the circumstances around us may be. If you have a troubled heart, it can only be because one thing, that we do not believe the promises of Christ. We don't really trust His promise of peace. We allow anxiety and turmoil to build up in our lives. Because we don't focus on Christ, we focus on the circumstances. Anxiety in our life, normally it is not based on the present. It's usually based on the past or the future. People worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. All the time, they worry about all sorts of things that are going to happen, they fear tomorrow. Some people are worried about what happened in the past that they cannot free themselves from. God has already taken care of the past. He's forgiven us. He tells us what the future is going to be if we're faithful to Him, if we trust Him. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and 34, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Just concentrate on trusting God for today. That's all we need to do. And the peace of Christ is a great resource that we have. In Colossians 3 and verse 15, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now, this word is an interesting word. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. It means the umpire. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your heart. Now, imagine if you are trying to make a decision in your life and you are puzzled about that. You wanting to be confident that it is the will of God. The first thing we need to do is always to go to the Bible and make sure this is not something that the Bible says is wrong for us to do. But if it is not something that is wrong, and then we know, well, it is not forbidden by God for me to do this, but then I need to trust that the umpire is the peace of Christ. If I, in my heart, I can pray about it and I have a sense of peace, then it's probably a good thing for me to do. But if I go to God in this, and I know it is not something that's forbidden by God, but I do not have a peace in my heart, then it's not the right thing for me to do. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. It's not worth it for us to lose the peace of Christ, to try to make a decision that we don't have that peace within. Peace of Christ is also gives us great strength in our life. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And so we live in the midst of society today where we are constantly bombarded with advertising in and out and worldly pressure to focus on our needs and our problems. Oh, I've got to have this new car. I've got to have this new automobile. I've got to have this new electronics device. We're being bombarded with that all the time. Instead of that, we need to keep our focus on God in the midst of this world. He says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Most people who lack peace, I'm convinced, have not taken the time to pursue it. God's peace comes to those who have the discipline to take the time to seek him and to know that he is God in their life. We're also told here in Psalm 119 and verse 165, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." We can always know that God is in control. God is sitting on the throne. As Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him." Psalms chapter 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know," he said, "that I am God." We can have this peace of Christ that passes all understanding, guarding our hearts day in and day out. We can stay calm, and we can have those other qualities operating in our life, love and joy and peace. We don't have to be focused on ourselves all the time, on our problems, on our worries, on our anxieties. We can have that peace within us that allows us to continue to function and to manifest the qualities of God and the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit in our life that can minister to other people around us and encourage them with the peace that Christ gives us within our lives. Thank you for your attention this morning, your kind attention. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. Jesus invites us to come to him. He gives us all these wonderful promises, how he can transform our lives. We can no longer be enemies with God. We can be reconciled. We can be at peace. And we can have the peace of God within us. What a wonderful blessing. If you're here this morning and subject in any way to Christ, we want to stand and sing the invitation song. We invite you to come.